prison.
Yes, sir.
See, that's the important thing. I was in prison and you visited me. Building relationships.
Yeah.
Building relationships with a couple different men that he spoke of tonight.
Okay.
But that not only builds a relationship with those men. But as those men talk with other guys. And say, you know what that Dale did? He did thus and such. And, you know, Dale, and so their good comments about their own relationship with Dale helps to establish in other inmates' minds this fella Dale Morey. And they lay the groundwork. And he may not himself establish a personal relationship like he described tonight, but they will lay the groundwork so when he's able to do that Bible study that he talked about on the catwalk, okay, where they all hear. Now, the guy sitting there listening, he's listening after this other fella told him all about Dale. So he's not listening fresh, let me just say that. He's not listening fresh. He's listening through that other establishment. So that's wonderful. I mean, what I just described is true with other people that you interact with.
That's right.
Okay? It just becomes so much more obvious in the setting of the prison as he's been telling us about it. Thank you again. Wow. I told Pat when I got home, tried to tell her what you shared, and then you got to be here to hear it, okay? And so I told her about it, and I said, you know, we really could have just said amen and gone home. And I'm not giving that opportunity, but Psalm 25, we're not going to take long. These testimonies and comments. He said something else that was very important. We claim to be his friend. We are his church family, and he's absolutely right. We need to be interceding for Dale at a far higher, more significant level than other people who know Dale and would pray for the liberty behind bars. Okay? I believe that's an opportunity we have, but I believe it's also a responsibility.
Yes, sir.
All right, we're looking at the matter of prayer last week, what it is to pray, and now tonight what we pray for. First thing that we are going to look at is verse 6, 7, and 18. Verses 6, 7, and 18, as we must pray for pardon from sin. Verse 6 and 7. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Now he says there, remember not the sins of my youth. Now, David's not saying that the sins of adult life, you know, you don't have to worry about them. Just pray about the sins of your youth. The sins of his youth were, for some reason, a real heavy burden on him. And a lot of times the sins of our youth, when we don't repent of them and forsake them and start living with the Lord, okay, we might be religious and play and go to church and all of that, but if we don't repent of them and forsake them and start living God's way, those sins of the youth, they planted seeds that are going to come back and be lived out in adult life.
Yep.
You know, David had some adult sins that needed to be forgiven. We know that his most infamous one was that of with Bathsheba. And we know the horror of that whole episode. And but it makes me wonder, He says, remember not the sins of my youth. I wonder what sin in his youth that he was guilty of might have laid the groundwork for that adult sin with Bathsheba. Never thought of that before.
That's right.
I didn't even think of that before going over these notes for tonight. I mean, that just came now.
Yeah,
and I'm amazed, okay?
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah, exactly.
And the amazement isn't with what God can give, but I didn't see that connection before. But I do know that when we don't repent and forsake sins of our youth, they will just keep coming back. Yeah, it went on. It will just keep coming back later. And so, and then verse 18, it says, look upon mine affliction and my pain. Look upon mine affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Some of the afflictions that we bear are the result of the sins of our life. Look upon mine affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Another thing that we must pray for is direction in the way of duty. Verse 4 and 5. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. We need direction in the way of fulfilling our duties. It's good to want to fulfill our duties. It's good for us to want to live up to our obligations, our responsibilities, okay? But we need the Lord's leading in actually doing that and accomplishing it. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. On thee do I wait all the day. See how you could read that and leave out that middle phrase? But we know every word is important. So when he says, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. And we wait on the Lord. And if God could save us, forgive our sin to get us to heaven, and I know you've heard this before, why can't we trust him for our daily needs? And I don't mean food and clothing. I mean, the various needs that we experience and go through in the course of a day or a week or a month. But we go and we pray. And then we worry. And we know that's wrong, so we confess that. And then we go and we pray again. And everything, you know, okay, I got some relief. That relief must have lasted an hour. And now I got the burden again. Okay? If we can trust him for our salvation, thou art the God of my salvation. And then he says, on thee do I wait. Is there a period there? No, no period there. Where's the period? Well, at the end of the sentence. Okay. It's after the words, all the day. And so we are told to wait on the Lord all the day. Not just wait on him when we are so overwhelmed with our problem, so overwhelmed with the pain of our affliction that we have to go to God. And we go to God and we get relief. And then the burden's back. We're to wait on him all day. Now, something just came to mind that I must share with you. There's a difference, and there's a difference between bringing something to the Lord and giving it to the Lord and just getting a religious relief. Okay? Now, catharsis is the term that I heard. Okay? If we have a cathartic experience, we have a cleansing, a removing experience. A catharsis is taking out. If I knew I was going to say this, I'd be better prepared to explain it. Okay? Sometimes when somebody comes, and I'm absolutely in favor of, just like recently, Pastor said after Jim Brady preached, he said, if God's spoken to your heart and you know you need to open a gate in your life for the God to have control, you want to come up and kneel and pray about it, you can do so. I'm absolutely in sync with that, okay? Absolutely in line with that. But one thing that I've seen already, and that is a person can come and they can kneel, and whatever may be troubling them, they can talk to the Lord about it.
Yes, sir.
And they can have a cathartic experience. Okay? A catharsis is a cleansing. Okay? And what they do is they get a religious relief. That's my term.
That's good.
Okay? And they've not really given it to God. Because in order to really give it to God, you've got to repent of it. You've got to confess it. And what is confession? Confession is not only admitting something, it's agreeing with what God says about it. And then when we repent of it, when we truly turn from it, because that's what repentance is, when we truly turn from it, we'll not just have a religious relief, it's going to be something that'll last. Now, that doesn't mean we won't think about it anymore. That doesn't mean the temptation to repeat the experience or the thoughts won't be there. It's just that it's going to really, truly, we've given it to the Lord. We've given it to God. We may still have some struggle with it, but we've given it to God, and that's different than merely trying to do something to get a little bit of relief from it. We want direction in the way of duty in verse 4 and 5. On thee do I wait all the day. Okay? On thee all the day. And then the last one here is in verse 16, and that is, we must pray for God's mercy. Verse 16 says, turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. Boy, when we have that sense of existence, that sense of conviction, as in verse 16, I am desolate and afflicted. I'm not just troubled by this, because, you know, this takes away my peace. I don't feel right about this. No, it's I'm afflicted, desolate and afflicted. That's when we'll turn to God and find the help that we need from the Lord. Now, we're going to end with that. We'll continue on next week looking at more that we must pray for. Let's go to prayer groups.